China is set to go back to work today, even as deaths from the new coronavirus continue to rise.
The new coronavirus outbreak in China has now exceeded the death toll for SARS.
And a final pitch for Democratic presidential hopefuls in New Hampshire.
The reason I'm here, one more time, eye to eye, to ask for your vote, is that this is the decision we will remember for the rest of our lives.
Plus, President Trump will propose safety net cuts in his annual budget today. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we head to China to get the latest on the spread of the new coronavirus, here's what you missed. A frenzied push across New Hampshire. Democratic presidential hopefuls are crisscrossing the state ahead of tomorrow's primaries. After Pete Buttigieg's strong performance in Iowa, several candidates took aim at him, including Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar during Friday's Democratic debate.
But what you said, Pete, as you were campaigning through Iowa, as three of us were jurors in that impeachment hearing, you said it was exhausting to watch and that you wanted to turn the channel and watch cartoons. It is easy to go after Washington because that's a popular thing to do. I don't think that's what people want right now. We have a newcomer in the White House, and look where it got us. I think George, having some experience George, is a good thing. Senator
Sanders then. Other candidates, such as former Vice President Joe Biden, are trying a similar strategy. Biden released an ad questioning the former South Bend mayor's experience.
When President Obama called on him, Joe Biden helped lead the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which gave health care to 20 million people. And when parkgoers called on Pete Buttigieg, he installed decorative lights under bridges, giving citizens of South Bend colorfully illuminated rivers. Both Vice President Biden and former Mayor
Buttigieg fought back at several events across the state over the weekend.
Now, I also hear some folks saying, what business does a mayor of South Bend, Indiana, have running for president? You don't have a big office in Washington, D.C. You haven't had decades of experience in the establishment. You come from a community in the industrial Midwest that isn't even one of America's biggest cities. To which I say, that is very much the point.
Meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is asking Iowa's Democratic vote organizers for a partial re-canvass of results. His move comes after the Iowa Democratic Party released updated results yesterday that projected Buttigieg would win 14 delegates while Sanders would get 12.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
In Hollywood, Parasite made history at the Oscars last night. The South Korean film is the first ever non-English language film to win Best Picture. From Seoul, our Korea correspondent Andrew Jung has more on the accidental breakout hit.
You know, I don't think the language or the cast are an issue because the topic itself resonates very well with Americans who are also going through their share of classified, the problems emerging from the less privileged, the lack of opportunities presented to them. And then to borrow the director of Parasite's words, he called America the capital of capitalism. So the fact that the topic of class divide, the rich and poor, the haves and the have-nots resonated well with America, if you think about it, is not that surprising.
Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor for his portrayal of the Joker, and Renee Zellweger won Best Actress for her turn as Judy Garland. Both Laura Dern and Brad Pitt took home their first acting Oscars in the Supporting Actress and Actor categories. We've got the full list of the winners up on our website. Now, our main story. Deaths from the new coronavirus continue to climb, and millions of people in central China remain on lockdown. But elsewhere, it's back to work for the millions of workers who've been off for weeks after the Lunar New Year holiday was extended. Stu Wu has been reporting on the outbreak from Beijing. So, Stu, what's the latest?
The latest now is that the new coronavirus outbreak in China has now exceeded the death toll for SARS, which killed about 800 people back in 2002 and 2003. Now the coronavirus has killed more than 900 people in China and has infected roughly 40,000 people across the country.
And are there any concerns about the number of cases being potentially underreported?
It's unclear right now. We talked to an epidemiologist yesterday who said that China could be undercounting the cases of infections. Part of that is because there are a lot of people with mild symptoms, and it might not be clear whether they actually have the coronavirus right now. One thing that is clear is that most of the confirmed cases and deaths are in Wuhan and the Hubei province. That's where the virus is thought to have originated. It's killed the vast majority and infected the vast majority of the people in China within this area of 60 million people.
What is the situation in central China right now?
It's a really sad situation. We have a coworker there named Chow, and she went to four hospitals over the past few days. And there are people queuing outside just waiting to get tested, people who have symptoms or coughing that don't even know whether they have the virus or not. Because public transportation is locked down, there are sick people who are taking mopeds to the hospital to try to get medicine, try to get help. We talked to one person who even fell off their moped on the way to a medical facility. So it's clear that despite building new hospitals there, that there isn't enough personnel, beds, and supplies to take care of all the sick people there.
And do you have any sense of how many people are actually heading back into work today?
So I actually went out in Beijing to the busiest part of the city to see what people were doing, and it was totally deserted. So there's this office center and shopping mall in the middle of Beijing called China World, and it's usually like Times Square. It's just mobbed with people. It's impossible to get on and off the subway there, but it was totally deserted today. So we talked to some people. A lot of companies are still asking employees to work from home. I would say about 75% or 80-90% of the stores in the shopping mall are closed. We saw a lot of really bored mall employees just playing games or watching videos on their smartphones.
And I mean, I think that gets to another part. We've seen a big economic impact from this outbreak. Inflation figures released this morning found that prices rose at their fastest pace in 8 years. So what else is going on economically?
Yeah, so there's two different things going on. Number one, there's all these shops and restaurants, barber shops, nail salons. Everything has been closed for essentially more than 2 weeks now. I know that in some areas, there's been some grocery stores that have raised their prices because people are hoarding vegetables. Local governments are trying to control that by saying, hey, we're going to punish people that do this.
And one last question. It's a bit of a left turn. I'm just curious if we have any more information about this cruise ship that's been off the coast of Japan for days now. One person tested positive for coronavirus on the ship. It's since spread. Do we have any sense of when the passengers will be able to get off of this ship?
That's a really tough situation. They found, the Japanese authorities said they found 60 more confirmed cases on this cruise ship that has about 3,700 people on it. I think the really tough thing is that once they find a new confirmed case, the 14-day clock for how long the people have to be quarantined on the ship restarts. So every day that there's a new case found, that's another 14 days. That's another day added to their stay on this very long cruise ride right now.
You can find all of our coverage of the new coronavirus up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Here is a surprising consequence of the new coronavirus, a strengthening U.S. dollar. It's climbed steadily since the number of new cases began surging last month. Now, the WSJ dollar index is at its highest level since October. While that might be a good thing if you're looking to travel abroad, it's complicating the picture for U.S. companies. Columnist Mike Bird has more.
Well, the rising dollar tends to happen in moments of geopolitical stress, of concern, for the simple reason that investors globally sort of retreat to the US. The US is the home of a major safe asset, the US Treasury. People tend to want those during moments of global concern. And in this case, it becomes difficult for US companies, which generate a lot of their revenues abroad, to keep up the same sort of revenue and earnings growth that they had before. So if you're a company like Coca-Cola or Ford, for example, with large earnings outside the United States, you're going to suffer from this. They might be earning the same amount of euros, of yen, of Chinese yuan, but when you convert that back into dollars, which is what their investors care about, they're earning less than they were before.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. President Trump is set to propose big cuts to the social safety net and foreign aid when he unveils his annual budget later today. The plan will also include increased spending for defense and veterans. It has little chance of becoming a reality as it is. That's partially due to opposition from the democratically controlled House. We'll have more on what's inside the plan in our afternoon edition. Finally, what do you think is the single best predictor of how happy and healthy you'll be when you're 80 years old? No, it's not how wealthy or successful you've been. It's how many relationships, including friends, you have when you're 50. That's just one recent study that found surprising health benefits of friendship. But if you want to grow your friendship circle, be prepared to put in the time. Another study found that it takes about 50 hours to go from considering someone an acquaintance to a friend, and as many as 200 hours to consider somebody a best friend. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.